This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
I love it. Let us rejoice. I want everyone to close their eyes for a minute. If you're afraid you're going to fall over something, hold a chair. But everyone close your eyes for a minute. I want you to picture what joy means to you. When you close your eyes, what does that joy look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What do you picture? What do you picture when you hear the word joy? Keep your eyes closed for just a minute. I want us to sense joy. Man, I feel, go ahead and open your eyes. I feel the Holy Spirit's presence very deep today. He's had us wait a few times today. Amen. I feel that presence, and that presence is uncomfortable sometimes because that presence says, we just have to stand here or sit here and hear nothing. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. When we sense joy and feel joy, I want people to hear us afar off. I want us to be able to raise the roof when we have the presence of God in here. And He's bringing about joy in our life. And some people, I read a story long ago when I had some little battles in my mind thinking about the message today. But I thought, when we come to the presence of the Lord, we should come with joy in our heart. That doesn't mean that we're always happy. And it doesn't mean that we want to be here. And it doesn't mean we want to be in this situation that we're in. But it says we come into the presence of the Lord. And because of that, we should have joy in our heart. David in Psalm 51 was talking to God. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And at the end of this message, we're going to look at that and say, God, would you just restore joy to me? Because His Word says, I'll take sorrow and I'll turn that into joy. I can take the things against you and show you how they can work for you. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 7 is where we'll start. A lot of connectivity through here as well. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. When we look at this thing in our Wednesday night Bible study, Austin, can you turn this down just a little bit up here? This is plastering my poor little ears up here on the monitors. Thank you. My poor big ears, whatever. But in our Wednesday night Bible study, we are reading 1 Corinthians, and we were in chapter 9. And when we read that, let me find it real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We were talking about the rights and privileges, and Paul said, hey, I can take these rights and privileges because they're due me. But he said in the middle of verse 12, he says, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but we endure all things. Why? Why did we endure all things? Lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Right where we started. You ran well, but who hindered you from obeying the truth? I thought, man, I always wanted to put a sign out on Anderson Road that just said, when did you stop going to church? And just leave that up there for about a month. And the next month say, who or what stopped you from going to church? He's asking the same question. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You ran well. And he's telling them, you started out great. You got in the race. He said, hey, I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go. And then in my notes in my Bible, it says, but then they ran into a detour. They got sidetracked and they got caught up in legalism. Listen, there's some very basic things about the Christian faith that are universal in the Bible. There's no question about it. But man, we can find an awful lot of times Christians universally trying to battle our thought on this or that. And we waste a lot of time loving our neighbor and loving one another. It says at the very bottom of verse 15 there, it says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He's talking within the church there. Oh, my Lord, in the church, don't devour one another. Don't bite one another. Because you'll be consumed by one another. What detours us? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Money. Not enough. Too much. Looks. Not enough. Too much. Possessions, not enough, too much. Bible knowledge, not enough, too much. Not enough, we don't know it, so we got detoured. Too much, we think we know everything, but he warns us against that. Oh, Lord, he says, don't think you know everything. We're going to be reading that in just a minute. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Notice it says he deceives himself. Everyone else knew it. You just deceived yourself. You weren't tricking anybody except the man in the mirror who hindered you from obeying the truth. That mirror, that man in the mirror that I looked at. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. And some people can get very worked up in that. And it goes back into that Bible knowledge. Hey, we get hung up on all this stuff. And hey, we're out doing these things. And your church is or is not doing this and that. And man, if you're not doing this, I just don't feel like you have the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, but in examining what I see from the outside of your life, that word joy is nowhere in your lifestyle. I don't see it working in your family. I don't see it working outside of your family. I don't see it showing up at church. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking, again, universally. Okay? I'll never forget Joyce Meyer talking about things. She said, oh my gosh, all these people want to talk about the Holy Spirit. She said, you want to know about the Holy Spirit? You can't even command yourself to clean a dirty set of dishes. Because they've been sitting in your sink for a week and you're worried about all these other things. But man, you can't even manage the small details of cleaning your house and doing these things. That's why we have to get in this. Remember, I talked last week in our Wednesday night Bible study about going to the gym. Work with a trainer once a week, big deal. It's not doing a whole lot here yet. Why? Because I haven't committed to the full deal. I haven't eaten properly. I haven't exercised enough. I show up once a week. She kills me and I go home and whine. It's the same thing when we come to church here. I showed up to church. He killed me. And you go home and whine. Oh my gosh, that guy's killing me. We can't grow when we're just spending that one time and we haven't committed to the full deal. And that's exactly what he says here. You ran well. Remember I told you about running in the marathon, the relay, and I ran well. I took off and about a quarter mile to half mile into it. I said, oh my gosh, I'm dying. How many more miles do I have to go? It's a true story. I'm not embellishing at all. From 63rd and Grand, I ran down there. I rounded the corner. And I think I told you this, but my sister and my mother are sitting there watching me from my sister's husband and her son's graveside at the cemetery right there in Rose Hill, right along the road. I thought, oh my God, I can't stop now. And I ran. And I got down the road and out of sight. And thank God there was a guardrail and I didn't have to sit on a curb. And I sat on that guardrail. I said, what do I do? I thought, well, I know what's going on. I didn't stretch enough, and I thought I had. And I just sat there for about 5 minutes, and I stretched, and I stretched, and I stretched. And I got up, and I started running, and I was fine till the end. I wasn't fast till the end, but I was fine till the end. And what I'm saying is sometimes we start out a race, and we get detoured. We have to know, what do I do? God, how do I get back on track? Because I know what I'm doing. I practiced. I stretched. I did this. He says, not enough. You weren't quite prepared for this battle I'm sending you into. And I need you to spend some more time in here. And I need you to spend some time with me. When we gather together here, this isn't always for your benefit. You're singing. You're singing. That may not be for your benefit. You may think, I came here. That's for the benefit of others to hear your beautiful voices singing out. Your presence here isn't to make me or Pastor Eric feel good. Your presence here is for a benefit for others. That say, oh, I love seeing you. Oh, thanks for giving me a hug today. Thanks for shaking my hand today. Thanks for saying hello today. We have to know how to get back on track. And sometimes it's simply slowing down everything that's going on around us and stopping and taking that break to get refocused, get our perspective back in shape. Those detours are subtle sometimes. Money, we may not think about it. Looks, I don't think about that a whole lot. Possessions, Bible knowledge, those may be things we don't think about are things that can detour us and pull us away from focusing on God, from finding His joy. And then our race becomes off balance when our joy is not full. You know, John 15:11, actually in verse 9 it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And abide is another way of saying spend time. If you keep my commandments, you will spend time in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and spend time in His love. But he says in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, his joy, that my joy remain in you and that your joy may be what? Full. You see, he wants us to have his joy. But he doesn't want a sprinkling of that. He wants us to have His joy and that His joy remains in us, what? To the full. He wants us to experience it to the fullest. But again, we can so easily be distracted verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In case anyone wasn't listening. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Why do you think he says, do not be unequally yoked? Light has no part with dark. These things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, jealousy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's saying, I've told you these things already. I'm telling you again. You know, I feel pretty much at home here. It's just roasting up here. So, pardon me. I try and stay in that, but it isn't going to work. My poor little head is just beating with sweat. Whew. I'm not that concerned about my looks. I'm that concerned about the sweat beating off me, okay? And he says, I've warned you about these things before. I'm warning you again. And that's why every now and then you hear these same themes coming across. Because we have to be reminded of these things. But those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is our goal to inherit the kingdom of God, yes or no? Yes. If we do those things. Well, I don't do them a whole lot, Adam. I just have an outburst of wrath every now and then. Me too. Welcome to the club. Now, what are we going to do to fix it? Because he says, you've got to take care of that and address it. Verse 22, and I love this, but the fruit of the Spirit is... The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is second in there. Love is first. I don't know that it matters the order, but it just is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's another way of saying patience. Kindness. When you talk to people, could you put a little fruit of the Spirit on there? The mixed jelly that you put on your toast, could you add some kindness to that when you talk to people, for goodness sakes? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. When you talk to your parents, could you add a little gentleness, a little mixed fruit in there? When you talk to your children, and I looked over there and here, I don't have anyone in particular I'm pointing out, I'm just saying in general. When you talk to your children, could we add a little gentleness? Well, Adam, that would take all kinds of what? Oh, the next one. Self-control. Self-control. That's a tough one. Because that self-control has to do with our will versus God's will for our life. You see, Adam, I like to plan my life. Well, that's great. Did you talk to God about it? Because you've accepted Christ and you're in church, and so there should be some participation on his part in that conversation. You know, Adam, we don't need to come to church to be a Christian. I understand that. Now, I'm married to my wife. She lives in one house, I live in another. How's that going to work? It's not. It just works better when you're together. We don't live separately. But it's the same thing, saying, well, to be married, we don't have to live in the same house. We can live far away. God says, I formed this so that you could be together, so that you could have fellowship with one another, love one another when you're together. the fruit of the Spirit again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ. Let's listen up. Those who are Christ have, that means they've already done it, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Young people, can you hear me? Ooh, they looked up. Oh, got a thumbs up. All right. Okay. Those who are Christ have, it's already been done, you have crucified the flesh against its passions and desires. The rest of us older folks, can you hear me? All right. Oh, another thumbs up. All right. I love this. This is working out great. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. Envying one another. Guys, this envy thing. Ooh. We like to share things. We like to see what the others are doing. We wonder, why aren't we doing that? Why didn't God bless us? I've done this. How come it's this? Why did it work out this way for me and this way for them? Now remember, when we all enter the race, we're running to win, right? We are running to win our race. Our race is different from our neighbor's race, possibly. We may have similar races. We may be going out to the same event. And again, they may be doing the 100-yard dash. Their race is going to be shorter. They're going to run the mile. They're doing a half marathon. They're doing a relay. They're doing a full marathon. And we try and compare our doggone races to one another. And he says, don't do that. You see, I've got a race for you, and I've got a race for you, and I've got a race for you. By the way, they're different. Your spouse may be running a different race than you are. So when you're up there trucking along going, come on, catch up. Oh, hang on. Your race is a sprint. They're going for a marathon. They've got to pace themselves. It's okay to encourage one another along the way, but we're running different races. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Remember a couple weeks ago I talked about the stumbling block? Remove the stumbling block from your brother's path. Oh, and by the way, do not become a stumbling block in your brother's path. We're to remove them and not become one. Where does this joy come from? Well, it said right there, the fruit of the Spirit. It says these things are evident. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, long-suffering. Oh, okay. Joy is right there. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit. Okay, I kind of get what joy is, Adam. It's this emotion thing that the Spirit gives me that I have. Do I have to choose it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I wrote on our board at work, choose joy above all, in all, and through all. Now, it doesn't say be happy with every situation, but it says choose joy. I have joy of knowing where I am in Christ, who I am in Christ, what I am in Christ. And no matter what I face it with Him, and I don't face it alone. That gives me great joy. When we spend time with one another and we're going through things and we lift one another up, that brings joy to others as well. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. The church is not about that. The church is about loving one another, supporting one another, being there for one another, helping one another. You know what takes that joy? Well, up there in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. That'll certainly take your joy away. Eric talked last week about fear and that song, Fear is a Liar. And I thought, what takes away our joy? And one of the number one things that takes away our joy is fear. Fear takes away our joy. Guilt takes away our joy. Jealousy, envy takes away that. Spite, rage, anger, unforgiveness, hurt, rivalries between one another, that envy and jealousy thing, trying to compete, competition can take away our joy. Failure can take away our joy. How do we get that back? I was telling you that I had this conflict going on in my mind. I heard long ago, they said, hey, everybody smile. And they said, I don't want to smile. I'm not happy today because I'm facing things that you don't understand. And the preacher of the church was going, well, you should smile. It's very tough to tell people that are going through things to smile despite what you're facing. It's all good. God's got this. Thank you. That's great. That joy sometimes is an internal thing that you don't wear on your face because you can't. Because you're facing trials. But it's something you can feel inside and you can choose inside. So when that joy is diminished, tarnished, darkened, you think, man, how do I get this back? Well, you talk to God first of all. The first thing is, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, that's your first opportunity to find that real joy. The true joy that He can give. Just like the true rest that only He gives. No amount of sleep will give you the rest that He gives you. Peace that only He gives. Nothing you do can give you the peace that He can. Joy, nothing you receive or get other than Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can give you the joy that He can give you and can settle things for you inside your heart. So the first thing is to accept Jesus Christ. Submit your life to Him if you have not done that. You can do that today. You can do that any day, anytime, any place. That's a great thing. That's number one, give your life to Christ. Number two, if you're already His and your joy has diminished, I'd pretty much say you need to turn wherever He is and wherever you left Him, you need to return to Him. Now, truth be known, whichever way you face, He's there with you. You just didn't know it. You were trying to walk away, but He's always there. But you have to return to Him, not partially, not halfway, fully. Number three, it tells us there, if we live in the Spirit in verse 25, we have to live in the Spirit. And right after that it says, but if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we have to walk and live, or live and walk in the Spirit to find that joy again, to retain that joy. I'll close with the last part of this, Galatians chapter 6. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Consider in yourself, lest you also be tempted. Watch out, it says. Who or what hindered you from obeying the truth? Well, there was some temptation there that I faced and I stumbled. Be careful. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one of you examine his own work. We've talked about that over the last couple weeks. Examining our work daily, weekly. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will also reap from the flesh, and will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I thought, what a great place to finish talking about joy. What do you mean? That sounds like being a servant. Yes. Being a servant and serving others, as I said Wednesday night, the worst thing about acting like a servant is people treat you like one. Absolutely. And Jesus said, man, I came not to serve, but to serve. And he asked us to do the same thing. So the fifth thing in getting back on track to restore our joy, bear one another's burdens. And I know you're thinking, holy cow, taking on someone else's problems is going to bring me joy? Yeah. Yeah, bear one another's burden. Why? How does that bring me joy? So fulfill the law of Christ. Number six, share the word with others. Number seven, sow to the Spirit. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. And number eight, from verse 9 and 10. Do good, but in doing good do not grow weary. And I just want to read that again and let us close with that. And I want you to think about this. As a matter of fact, close your eyes as I read this, because I want you to picture what this looks like to you. And I know we've done a lot of sitting in silence and closing our eyes today, but I want you to envision this and picture this. Let us not grow weary while doing good. And why does he tell us that? For in due season, he tells us, we shall reap. Okay, what do we have to do to reap? If we do not lose heart, we cannot lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and opportunity abounds, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for this opportunity just to read about joy. Lord, we love that it is one part of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, your word cautions us, tells us to love one another, and cautions us not to bite and devour one another. And your word says, because we will be consumed by one another. Lord, I pray today that we open ourselves up to one another, to serve, to love, to share joy, to be joy to others, to bring joy to others. Lord, where there is sorrow, your word says you will turn that to joy. Lord, we leave that in your hands, because we cannot turn that into joy for anybody. For we are flesh. But nothing is impossible for you to turn someone's sorrow into joy. To turn somebody's troubles into triumph. Somebody's challenge into victory. Lord, I pray today that this church body finds ways every day this week, every day, to express joy, to show joy, to share joy with others, whether it's in their workplace, in the grocery store, in the retail store, driving down the road. to share joy with others. That we take this list from the fruit of the Spirit and we work on those to express patience and love and peace. That we bring peace to others in times of trouble or battles. That we show kindness and goodness. That we are faithful and gentle. God, help us with the last one, self-control. Where we struggle because we want to be in control. Help us find ways this week, every day, to turn over control to you or to someone else. Where we release that. And then just draw us to your word every day. Draw us to the body every day. Draw us to you every day. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.